The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to your weekly dose of heart and soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance with your host, Jory Fisher. Jory and her guests will inspire you to discern your life's purpose and make a positive difference in the world around you. Now, here's Jory Fisher.
Hello and welcome to Heart and Soul. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining us today, December 30th, 2009, is composer, author, and performing pianist David Nephew from Eugene, Oregon. Would you like to greet our guest, David?
I sure would. Hi. Great to be here.
We will hear more from him later. Right now, I'd like to thank Voice America for the opportunity to host this show on the Internet's number one talk station, and thank my listeners for tuning in to another edition of Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. If you'd like to see Heart and Soul extend beyond January 6, 2010 on Voice America, please email me right away at jory@joryfishercoaching.com. Voice America would be happy to customize a sponsorship package for you so you can advertise your business or cause on Heart and Soul. It would be a privilege for me to continue broadcasting this show on Voice America Variety. So why am I hosting a show on purpose, passion, and perseverance? Number one, because I want you to be encouraged by people who are purposefully doing their part to make a meaningful difference in the lives of others. Secondly, because I want to assure each of you that you have a unique and special reason for being on this earth. And number three, because of my life purpose, which is to shepherd seekers who hunger and thirst to find, follow, and fulfill their divine calling so they may faithfully serve others with confidence, integrity, passion, courage, and joy. And now, I'm honored to introduce you to David Nephew, a solo pianist and composer, and a well-respected internet music marketing entrepreneur. I met David this fall at a benefit concert he gave on behalf of the Daily Bread here in Lynchburg, Virginia, and I was so taken with his spirit and his amazing talent that I asked him if he would be my guest on Heart and Soul. David has been promoting his music on the internet since 1995 and has done so well with his original solo piano music that he was able to quit his full-time job in 2001. In the years since, he's been creating and playing music full-time, booking and managing his own concert tours, heading up all of his own promotion and web design, running a hugely successful solo piano internet radio broadcast, authoring a book on music promotion, playing advisor to other hopeful independent musicians, and still, even with all that, he somehow finds time to be a father, a husband, and a worship leader at his church. There are many, many things we could talk about here today. The man himself, his music, the music industry, etc. But today we're going to focus on the man, David Nephew, and his music. So welcome, David, and I'm going to start right in with just asking you, how long have you been playing the piano?
Well, hey, Jory, first, thanks a lot for having me. I'm just thrilled to be here. I'm so honored that you'd have me on your show. I started technically... You could just say that I started on the piano when I was 12 years old, which would make it 33 years now.
All right. Okay. Well, so 12 years old, that's a little late. I mean, I started playing piano and, amateur. I'll put that right out there. But I started playing piano when I was significantly younger. Is 12 a little later than most people?
I think so. I mean, today you see, you know, lots of kids just playing at such an early age. And I actually really did play. My grandmother had like an organ at her house. And so when I was 7 or 8 years old, even younger, I was there playing on her organ and just playing and finding my way on the instrument. But we were a pretty poor family. We didn't have our own anything to play on at home, and it wasn't until I was 12 when really my grandma finally just gave me the organ, and then my parents started me on piano lessons, and so I started playing technically when I was 12. I kind of bookmarked that as when I started, but really I've probably been playing around on the instrument since I was 7 or 8.
Mm. Okay. So, well, was it those lessons that taught you to play, or how did you do that?
Well, not really. I mean, it's kind of a funny thing. I used to go to Grandma's house, and I would just play around, but a lot of what I was playing around was music that I heard on TV or on the radio. I would sit down at the piano or her little organ, and I would kind of work it out, and there'd be songs that I'd like on the radio, and so I kind of figure out what the songs were and start playing them. And so I was, from an early age, I was playing by ear. And then, of course, the natural thing to do if you're a parent and you have a child that obviously can play piano by ear is to put them in piano lessons. So my parents put me in lessons, and then, I was a really, really bad student. I was a terrible student. You know, because I went to lessons and I was excited to learn to play the piano, and then they put, you know, this music in front of me, and it was classical music, and I had never heard classical music, and I didn't like this music, and I didn't want to learn this music, and so I became one of those students that would practice the piano like 30 minutes before my lesson every week, you know, and then I'd do my little thing for the lesson, and then I'd come back home and then just kind of go back to doing my own thing. And so, you know, after a year or two of doing that, I kind of dropped out of piano lessons and just kind of went on my very own way.
Well, when you went on your very own way, I'm wondering if you used sheet music. Did you go to the store and pick up sheet music that you liked, or did you use sheet music at all?
I really didn't use sheet music at all. I could never read it very well. Even now, I can't read sheet music worth beans. I mean, I know what the notes are, because I can look at a score and I can tell you, you know, that's an E and that's an A flat, and I know that. But to sit down, put sheet music in front of me and just say, play it, I'd be like, yeah, right. I never did really learn to play sheet music, because I always found it so much faster and so much easier to just sit down at the piano, and if there's a song that I wanted to learn, I'd listen to the song, I'd have the record there with me, play the record, find the music on the piano, and then I just play it by ear.
That's incredible. That's amazing. Well, so what about composing? I mean, when did you start composing? How old were you when you wrote your first piano piece?
My first piano piece? I actually didn't write my first piano piece until I was probably 18 or so. Because before that, you see, when I wanted to play keyboards in rock and roll bands. So I wanted to play, but I wanted to play keyboards, and I wanted to be in a band. So all through my teenage years, when I was writing and composing, music with lyrics and words, music that were songs for bands. And then when I went into college, that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I thought I would be doing, and I pursued that and spent some time playing in bands and playing rock music. And then my freshman year of college, my college roommate was really into this piano music of this guy named George Winston. And I had never heard anything like that before, because before his music, if you asked me what solo piano music was, I would say, hey, that's classical music or jazz or whatever. But I never heard anything like this guy before. And he was playing his music all the time, and I would listen to that, and pretty soon I was like, I think I can do that. So I sat down and at the piano at that time, and that was really, I was about 18 when I really started writing music just for the piano.
Well, you write it, but it sounds like you didn't exactly go to college for this and learn music theory and practice your scales and arpeggios and all of that. So
No.
How do you write it?
Yeah, writing it for me means that I sit down and I memorize it, and a song is written when I have it recorded, really. I mean, for me, writing a song is like, once it's recorded, then it's written. Because then if I ever want to learn it again, like if years go by and I decide that I want to learn to play a song again, then I can listen to the recording back, and I'll hear it, and I'll go, oh, that's right, that's what I did. And then I'll sit in the piano, and then I'll relearn it that way. So for me, when a song is written, it means it's recorded, and then I have it down forever. Aside from that, I just keep it in my head.
Okay. Well, I hope somebody's writing it down and putting it on sheet music, because this is incredible. Well, all right, so George Winston clearly is one of your biggest musical influences. Who else would you say inspired you the most?
Well, it's kind of funny, because I woke up, I grew up in a house. We didn't have any music. My mom didn't play anything. My dad didn't play anything. All I had was my mom's Elvis records. So it's like I grew up listening to Elvis. And then when I was 7, there was this band on TV. They were called the Monkees. And that's what made me want to be a musician, watching the Monkees on TV, having fun. And I'm like, that's what I want to do with my life. And so that's really kind of what caused me to pursue music, was just watching that TV show. And just that was my perception of what a musician was. And then when I got into high school, my musical taste kind of changed a little bit. I started listening to more rock and roll music like Rush and Kansas and Pink Floyd. And so those were the bands that kind of shaped me in terms of my musical influences.
Mm-hmm. And what other inspiration do you have for the songs you composed besides those musical influences?
Well, really, just life. I mean, I experience things. And, you know, for example, my CD Overcome is an album where the music was really inspired by my father, who was a great man, who loved the Lord, but he had this great battle with cancer. And watching him go through that process inspired a lot of music and emotion, and watching his hope and his faith and his perseverance through all that. So life inspires my music. And just my prayer life, I see a lot of my songs as being really psalms. And I like to sit down at the piano, and I usually have my Bible with me, and I'll open up the psalms. When I want to write something, I'll start in the psalms, and I'll just read, and then I'll just kind of play, and the music will be like a prayer. And that's usually where it starts. Inspired by life, inspired by faith, and just kind of going wherever the music leads.
Well, I know our listeners will want to hear more about that in another segment, but let me just ask you one question right now. You told me when we've had our individual private conversations that you consider this a gift. Is it a gift from anyone in particular? I know that's a leading question.
Music is definitely, it's a gift from God. I mean, you can't, there are some things you can't learn. You can't really learn how to write. Well, how do I put it? It's hard to teach somebody how to write a song and how to make it such that it's going to emotionally impact other people. I mean, you can teach someone how to compose. You can teach someone how to play. But there's things about music that kind of transcend what you can learn, and there's things that are just innate. And I think it's those things which are really a gift, and those are a gift from God. I mean, you can't, you know, I look at what I do, and I'm kind of in awe of it because I don't really know how it happens. It just happens. It's not something that I apply theory to. It's not something that I apply, you know, my scholarly background to. It's just something that I do. And it's just a natural output of who I am. I think that's where the gift comes in.
Wow. Well, one really quick question before we break. At what age did you realize that you had this gift of being a composer and a pianist?
I don't think it really hit me that it was a gift until I was well past college. Because before that, I was just kind of finding my way, and I always saw myself when I was young playing music in a band, and once I got out of college and real life hit and I was just trying to make a living, you know, at that point I was just playing for fun and writing music for fun because it's something that I like to do, and I was recording because that was just kind of a natural result of the writing process. And it really wasn't until my music was really getting out there and people were, you know, talking to me and emailing me and just telling me about how the music was, you know, affecting their lives and how it was affecting them personally, that I really realized that what I was doing was bigger than me just having a hobby. And that's kind of when I started to realize the opportunity that I had for just ministering and for sharing and doing something bigger than just, you know, being in my own little world.
Well, thank you, David. Right now we're going to break, but when we'll come back, we'll discuss David's remarkable gift of composition. This is your host, Jory Fisher, broadcasting from Lynchburg, Virginia, and my guest, David Nevue, speaking to us from Eugene, Oregon. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. Do you long to make a difference in the lives of others? Do you feel called to something different but don't know what? If you're feeling discouraged and off purpose, consider Jory Fisher and Associates. Jory is a certified life and career coach who's trained in Tim Kelly's True Purpose Process. Her clients are professional men and women who seek meaningful work opportunities that will allow them to support their family, maintain a healthy lifestyle, and make the difference they're designed to make. Jory would love to help you find, follow, and fulfill your divine calling so that you may faithfully serve others with confidence, integrity, passion, and joy. She can help you discern your true purpose and discover how you're meant to fulfill that purpose in the marketplace. Imagine the joy and confidence you'd have knowing that you're doing what you're specifically designed to do. For more information, visit JoryFisher.com or send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Jory offers specialized coaching to women, clergy, and legal professionals, so visit JoryFisher.com today. Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
If you can't put down a good mystery novel, you'll want to check out Mystery Matters with Fran Stewart. Each week, you'll hear from the top mystery writers of our time. From suspense thrillers to forensics, you'll explore all of the categories that make a great mystery work. Not only will we discuss the secrets of the story, but we'll go behind the novel to sort out all of the pieces of the puzzle. Broadcast live each Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America. Mystery Matters, where murder isn't. Open book.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com. Listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Back to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. We've been listening to David Nevue discuss how he got his start as a musician. Now we're going to get into more detail about David the composer. David, you told us a few minutes ago that you consider the work you do, composing song after beautiful song, a gift from God, and you were very humble about that, which I know we all appreciate. But I'm wondering, how does your faith affect your approach to composing?
Well, it really affects it a lot, because as I sit down and I'm writing a song, even if I'm writing a piece that is about something specific, like if I'm writing about an experience that I had, you know, out in the snow, like I have this popular song called Big Snow in Salzburg, and, you know, it's this great song about this wonderful 2 days I had in Salzburg with my wife and during Christmas time, and how wonderful and freeing and it was, and it's just a joyous song. But even as I'm playing that song, it makes me thankful and grateful. So it's like every song, no matter what it's about, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm playing it and I'm reliving the experience, but at the same time of reliving that experience, I'm also turning it around as a kind of a prayer of thanks and just saying, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this gift of this memory, of this experience, of this time. And when I'm playing in concert, I mean, it's like that. I really see my concert performances as being kind of an open prayer, a time for me to just go out and perform and play and share my music, share my stories, but also just to share my faith and to just be open to whatever God is doing in the moment. And, you know, sometimes that just means I play my songs and I have a private time with the Lord where I'm just expressing my thanks in prayer, and sometimes that means I tell my stories and, you know, talk about how this song was inspired by Psalm 77 or Psalm 91 or this or the other thing. And you know, it's my faith is really interwoven with my music. I can't do one without the other.
And yet the albums that you have, and feel free to name some of the titles, they're it's not just music that churches would play or people who consider themselves Christians would play. It has a very broad appeal, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, really, most of my albums are my original music, and so as you listen to them, you wouldn't necessarily hear it and think, oh, this is a Christian playing this song. I mean, you're listening to a song called Big Snow in Salzburg, and you're listening to an album that's called Postcards from Germany, and you're not thinking, oh, that's a Christian album. I mean, the reality is I'm a Christian, and I live my life, and I have a lot of experiences that inspired and influenced my music. It really wasn't until, I mean, it was really up until my ninth album or so that everything that I was doing was primarily original material. And then with my 10th album, which was called Adoration, that was really my first album, I'd say, was, you know, people might see as being a church album because it was entirely all hymn arrangements. So it was all hymns. And then my latest album, my newest CD, which is called Revelation, is my take arrangements on and improvisations primarily on a lot of contemporary Christian melodies, songs like Here I Am to Worship and Amazing Love, and You Are My Hiding Place, some things that Christians might recognize as being contemporary melodies they know. But, you know, those are the first two albums I'd say people would go, oh, that's a Christian or a church album. But most of my music and the next album that I'm working on, again, is almost entirely original. It's just music that's about my life and my experiences, and they're original songs, and you wouldn't have to be a religious person at all to appreciate them. In fact, a lot of people aren't and still do, thankfully.
So your faith informs your music, and yet it's not that every single piece of your music would be something that only Christians would value.
Oh, not at all. I mean, from all different faiths, I mean, people from all walks of life listen and enjoy it. You know, the thing that's interesting is that no matter where they're coming from, people do seem to sense the spiritual nature of the music. And oftentimes, until they come to my website or until they see me perform, they don't really understand exactly where it's coming from. But I think that people who are seeking spiritually certainly do sense the spiritual side and the quality of the music. I mean, it's a prayer, and it's a lot of, and I think people can connect with that, and they do hear that in the music. But certainly, I think people knew me as a pianist. I think most people know me as a pianist before that they know I'm a Christian pianist. So they hear my music
right.
and they like it, and then they buy it, and then they might buy the whole album, and they might read the liner notes, and they might see that I referenced, you know, a verse in the Bible, or that I've thanked Jesus, or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they see me in concert. If they see me in concert, then they definitely see where I'm coming from, because they'll hear me tell the stories about the music and what inspired it. And inevitably, as I'm talking about, you know, my arrangement of Amazing Grace, I talk about God's amazing grace. I'm not preaching. I'm not a preacher. I wasn't gifted to be a preacher. I just share my music and what it means to me and what's inspired it.
Well, what effect does the music have on you as you write it and you play it?
Well, it's just very peaceful and calming. I mean, it's, you know, I think people imagine my life, because I'm a professional pianist, so I imagine that people just imagine that I sit down at the piano all day. That couldn't be farther from the truth. But, you know, at the end of a busy day, there's just nothing like sitting down at the piano and just playing. And there's comfort in playing the music that I know and familiar with, so I enjoy practicing the pieces that I've already composed and getting them ready for, you know, concerts that are coming up and so on. But I also like to just sit down and just improvise and just to play on the piano and just to let it go wherever. And the music for me is a very calming thing. I'm kind of a stress case. I'm a very obsessive personality. I'm very much a perfectionist to a fault with myself and my own music and my work. I demand perfection from what I do in myself. And so it's nice to sit down at the end of the day and just unwind and just say, you know what, I'm just going to cut it loose. I'm just going to play. And I'm just going to focus on the Lord now and not myself and just relax. And so it has that kind of a calming and peaceful effect and kind of counteracts, I think, my human nature, which is to want to hold everything in my hand and control it. And then that part of me that just says, you know what, just got to let it go and just let God lead, and I need to just be his instrument right now.
Well, there's no question that your music is calming. I mean, I have several of your albums, and they each of them have that effect, has that effect. But let me ask you, do you intentionally write your music or allow God to write your music through you so it will have that effect on your audience, or does it just happen?
No, it just happens, thankfully. I mean, I don't write my music. I don't set out to compose music that's going to affect people in a particular way. I am blessed. I got to be honest. I couldn't write any music other than the kind that I do. I mean, I just write what is the natural expression of myself. And I am so fortunate that people actually like the music that I write, because I couldn't write it any other way. So I don't set out and say, I'm going to write this music to make somebody cry or make somebody think about God, or, you know, I just write it, and then what I do is I got this done, so I record it, and then I just kind of share it with the world, and I guess once I put it out there on CD, it's out of my control, and I just let God use the music however he wants to, and people listen to it for enjoyment, and that's awesome. And some people listen to it, you know, as part of their worship, and that's awesome. And some people listen to it in the car while they're driving. That's awesome. I'm just grateful that people like the music.
Right. Well, we're grateful you're writing it, let me tell you. Well, right now we need to take a break, but I'd like to invite our listeners to call us with any questions you may have for our guest, David Nephew. And after our break, he's going to tell us a little bit more about what it's like to perform his pieces, and he'll tell us about the business side of his music and how he manages to do it all. This is your host, Jory Fisher, in Lynchburg, Virginia, and my guest, David Nephew, in Eugene, Oregon. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Ask Ask the Experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you long to make a difference in the lives of others? Do you feel called to something different but don't know what? If you're feeling discouraged and off purpose, consider Jory Fisher and Associates. Jory is a certified life and career coach who's trained in Tim Kelly's True Purpose Process. Her clients are professional men and women who seek meaningful work opportunities that will allow them to support their family, maintain a healthy lifestyle, and make the difference they're designed to make. Jory would love to help you find, follow, and fulfill your divine calling so that you may faithfully serve others with confidence, integrity, passion, and joy. She can help you discern your true purpose and discover how you're meant to fulfill that purpose in the marketplace. Imagine the joy and confidence you'd have knowing that you're doing what you're specifically designed to do. For more information, visit JoryFisher.com or send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Jory offers specialized coaching to women, clergy, and legal professionals, so visit JoryFisher.com today.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
While parenting has its joys, it's also stressful. If you'd like help finding practical solutions to the challenges you're facing, listen to Real Parents, Real Solutions with host Tony Shuda. You'll leave with options you can try with your kids right after the broadcast. Tony will interview experts and real parents for real solutions to problems that will reduce your stress and make your family happier. Call in, write in. This show is for you. Real Parents, Real Solutions airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Back to Heart and Soul. We've been listening to David Nephew explain what it's like to be a conduit of music from heaven to earth. And now we're going to discuss the performance and business side of David's vocation. So, David, let's get into the performance part of it first. Do you first hear the melody in your head, or do you start experimenting with the keyboard and see what comes up?
You mean when I'm composing?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Composing as opposed to performing. Exactly.
It kind of goes both ways. It can really be, once in a while, I will hear a melody in my head, and then I'll sit down at the piano and try to find that. But more often, it's a situation where I'm sitting down at the piano and I'm playing, and I'm just improvising or just playing whatever just feels good. And something about, so I'll hit something, I'll hit a phrase, a musical phrase, or even just a chord, and it'll really, really sing out to me. I'll go, oh, that's really nice. And then I'll start from that phrase and then kind of start to work around that phrase or that melody. Composing on the piano, I have always felt it's a lot like creating a sculpture. I mean, you start with this lump of clay, and you kind of take out all the clay that isn't a part, that doesn't belong with the shape that you're trying to envision, that you see in your mind, and composing on the piano is a lot the same way. I mean, you kind of start with this idea, and you kind of have to work around all this clay and get rid of all the notes that don't belong there, and then just have the notes left over that belong with that song, with that melody. And I usually tend to write in kind of like, I'll write in kind of segments where I'll do a bunch of songs at once. And often what happens is once I get into the groove and start working on a song and composing a song, sometimes it'll split off into another melody or another melody. And so I can sit down to write a song, and I might come out of there with two songs or three songs by the time all is said and done.
Have you ever talked with other composers to see if this concept that you just described of pulling away the extraneous pieces of clay, have you ever talked with anyone else to see if they have that same concept?
Well, I think that we've kind of talked casually about it, you know, in terms of how do you compose and everything. Music is kind of a big mystery, and that's another reason why I kind of look at it as being a gift from God, because it really is a mystery. Where does this come from? You know, it's amazing when you sit down at the piano and you just play, and this music comes out, and you're like, I didn't do that. You hear so many musicians say, you know, it's a gift from God, because I don't know where it comes from, and it's really true. It's an incredible thing, and sometimes I really feel like it really isn't from me, and I just happen to be in the right frame of mind to receive whatever, you know, whatever is coming through me. And I don't want to sound like I'm channeling music from God or some kind of thing like that. It's not like that. It's just, you know, it happens, and we create this art, and we create this music out of the air, out of nothing, and it's an incredible thing. And you look at it and you go, I don't know how I did that, but I thank God for that.
Well,
you stand back. It's hard not to be
your humility.
It's hard to you just stand back in awe of it, really, and just
Well, once you do have the song composed, and we know you haven't written it down, you've told us that, but it's recorded somewhere, and it's ready to perform, do you play the piece the same way each time?
The notes, generally, yeah. I mean, you have to realize that once I've recorded a song and got to the point to where I'm ready to record it, I've already played the song probably 200 times. So by the time I'm got it done and then I'm performing it over and over and over again, it definitely takes a form that pretty much stays the same. I mean, it'll be the same way in terms of the notes. But I may choose to perform and interpret the song differently depending upon the context. So I might play the song a little bit different. I mean, there might be times I play it faster or slower, or that I kind of have a different emotional bent toward the song. So the performance might be different, but the song and the notes themselves usually stay pretty much the same.
Well, I can imagine that after playing it 200 times. How do you psychologically prepare for your performances?
I do a lot of just breathing. I have found that I think the thing that, you know, a lot of people think that I don't get nervous because I don't look nervous, but the reality is I get nervous just like anybody else gets nervous when you go out in front of people and you're going to do something, especially on the piano. I mean, you're up there and you're kind of naked, because if you make a mistake, I mean, it's not like you can cover it up. It's there for the world.
Right.
Here. So I get nervous like anybody else, but the thing that happens when you get nervous is you tighten up and you stop breathing. And so before I perform, there's a couple things that I do. One is I do a lot of deep breathing. And you got to get oxygen in your body, because it just helps to calm your nerves and just train yourself to breathe. And then the other thing I do, again, it's a spiritual thing, is I just pray. I just spend some time praying, and I pray for guidance. I pray that I'll be articulate when I speak. I pray that my performance will glorify God. And, you know, in the end, performing is an act of faith. I mean, I go out on stage, and you know all of the terrible things that could happen. But you go out on stage anyway, and you just trust that it'll be wonderful. And you trust that, you know what, I've been doing this for years, and I'm going to be okay. If I make a mistake, it's going to be okay. I know this music inside and out. It really is a step of faith, and you have to kind of take that mental approach to, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to walk on stage, I'm going to perform, I'm going to give them a great show. And then you breathe, and then you pray.
Does that keep you from having to deal with what a lot of people have to deal with, and that's stage fright?
I think so. I mean, I don't really get stage fright per se. I get nervousness, but you know, usually once I get going, I find that the best cure for stage fright is laughter. And that's one of the reasons why I love to tell stories, because when I'm performing and telling the stories, I can get people involved with what I'm doing on stage. It's not so much, you know, me just up there performing. It's all of us together having this experience. And then, you know, I can bring them in and we laugh together. And once we start laughing together, then it's all okay and we can just kind of, you know, and then we're all just relaxed and having fun. And that really takes away anything that resembles stage fright.
Well, I can honestly say from the one time that I saw you that that's exactly what happened, that everybody just, we were all there with you and you were with us, and it was just a very calming, relaxing, fun, uplifting time. And that was at the Oakwood Country Club here in Lynchburg on behalf of the Daily Bread. So it was great. And I can personally attest to what you're describing. Well, I want to move into the business end of it a little bit. You've chosen to promote your music exclusively on the web, and I'm just wondering how that's working out.
It's working out really good. I've been doing this full time for, 8-9 years now? And, you know, I started promoting my music online back in 95, and then by 2001 I was doing this full time. So it's worked out really, really well.
Well, good. And we can see if we go to your website, and I encourage people to do that, just davidnevue.com, and that's N-E-V-U-E, davidnevue.com, that you are offering all of your music as sheet music, which is kind of interesting based on what you told us earlier.
I can't read it. I just sell it. I actually have – I hire somebody to transcribe my music for me. They take it from the CD. They take it right from the CD, and they transcribe it. And I have somebody else, and I have a piano teacher, actually a couple of piano teachers, and I have proofed the music. And then when it's ready to go, we put it up online. So.
Okay. Well, I figured there was something like that. Your people were helping you. Well, your piano teachers. Why do you think piano teachers love to use your music in piano classes, other than the fact that it's gorgeous, of course?
Well, I think what I have been told, piano teachers have told me that they have given my music to piano students that they have trouble motivating, you know, to play the classical music. Kind of funny, it kind of circles, something a circle of life thing here. They have trouble motivating some of these students to play some of the classical music and to learn their theory and all of these technical things that you're supposed to do as a young child learning the piano. But they'll give them my music, and they tell me that the kids just go crazy over it because they love the music. It's pretty. It's not intimidating. The music isn't that hard to play. I always tell people, if my music was hard to play, I couldn't play it. So, you know, the sheet music isn't that hard to play. So I think the kids really like it because it's pretty, because it sounds good, and because they feel like, I can play this. This is something that I can do. And they get really jazzed and excited. And then they can show it off to their friends. And I think piano teachers who are teaching my music have discovered that my music motivates people, the students, to play.
And that's key, as you know. Right now we're going to take one more break, and when we come back I'll ask David a few questions about how he manages to accomplish so much. This is Jory Fisher, your host, broadcasting from Lynchburg, Virginia. And my guest, David Nevue, speaking to us from Eugene, Oregon. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you long to make a difference in the lives of others? Do you feel called to something different but don't know what? If you're feeling discouraged and off purpose, consider Jory Fisher and Associates. Jory is a certified life and career coach who's trained in Tim Kelly's True Purpose Process. Her clients are professional men and women who seek meaningful work opportunities that will allow them to support their family, maintain a healthy lifestyle, and make the difference they're designed to make. Jory would love to help you find, follow, and fulfill your divine calling so that you may faithfully serve others with confidence, integrity, passion, and joy. She can help you discern your true purpose and discover how you're meant to fulfill that purpose in the marketplace. Imagine the joy and confidence you'd have knowing that you're doing what you're specifically designed to do. For more information, visit JoryFisher.com or send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Jory offers specialized coaching to women, clergy, and legal professionals, so visit JoryFisher.com today.
Are you destined to be an everyday change agent in your organization, your relationships, your community? Learn how to become one when you tune in to The Change Agent on the Voice America Variety Channel. Justin A. Flunder, the Chief Change Agent Leader of the Flundonian Group, will help you examine every aspect of your personal and professional life. By observing your own thoughts, words, and actions, you will become the everyday leader that you are meant to be. The Change Agent airs live Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul. You've been listening to David Nevue describe his inspiration for his work as a composer, as well as the business side of his vocation. David, you do house concerts when you could easily pack a hall. Why is that?
I just really love doing the house concerts. I do probably a third of my shows in people's homes and a third of them in churches, and I love doing that because it's so intimate and close up. And there's nothing better than going to someone's house when they've asked you to come to their house because they just want to hear you play live. And then that person who's bringing you, you know, they are so enthusiastic and invite all of their friends and family and coworkers, and they're just so excited to share the music they love with the people that they love. And then they get to have the performer live in their house. It's just, it's an amazing energy, and it gives you a chance to just to meet people and talk to people in a way that you can't do in a big, big stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know we all loved interacting with you when you were here in Lynchburg at both. You played at churches, you played at the country club on behalf of the Daily Bread, and so I was able to experience that as well. It was wonderful. Well, what should people do if they want to have you play in their community? How would they learn about you?
Just contact me. I mean, if you go to my website, again, it's davidnevue.com, it's just my name. If you go to my website, there's a little link on the top for booking, and you can read all about, you know, what it means to have a David Nevue concert and what it's like and what's required and so on. And really the only thing that I require is that you have a working piano that's, you know, been tuned. And that's about it. And, you know, we can work out the details. I pretty much will go anywhere, and there's different things that affect the cost, and, you know, it's good to have me come, like, when I'm on tour. So sometimes I encourage people to, like, just say, you know, I want to have you come, and I live here in Connecticut, so next time you're in my area, let me know and we'll set it up. And then I can get a bunch of people together on a tour and keep the cost down for everyone. It's, so, you know, it's pretty simple. Just contact me and we can talk about it.
Okay. And I think perhaps based on my introduction of you, that people might be wondering how you keep so many balls up in the air at once. For example, you run the Music Biz Academy website for independent musicians. You started and run Whispering Solo Piano Radio, an incredibly popular internet radio broadcast. You promote your music online. You do your own booking and setting up concert tours. You're writing, composing, worship leader, family man. How do you do it all, David?
Well, just having you say all that stuff really started to overwhelm me. No, I
me
do
too.
A lot, and it's hard not to be overwhelmed, but, you know, at the beginning of the day, I just sit down and I think, what do I got to do today? I mean, I've got this to-do list that has been full for years, but, you know, I can't look at it all and say, I got all that to do. I have to look at today and see what needs to be done. I take it one day at a time. That's the only thing you can do when you have so many things you're juggling. You just do what you got to do right now, and then when it's done, scratch it off the list and move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, where do you see yourself going from here? We have Revelation that's just come out, and you said that you're in the midst of writing another album. So what happens next?
Well, I have another album that's all original music that is actually mostly recorded now. So I'm hoping to get that out by next fall. And then I've got a live CD that I'm working on and a DVD of concert performances. I've got another update of my book that I need to write over the next 3 or 4 months. So there's a lot happening. I'm going to continue. I'm done touring for a little while, probably until next fall. I think I'm going to take some time off of that and just focus on trying to get some more sheet music out and my book. And, you know, and then I'll just keep writing and recording and releasing music as long as I feel like that's what I'm led to do. So, you know, one day at a time, 1 year at a time.
And out of all of this that you do, what would you say is the most meaningful to you?
I think that the most meaningful thing is when I hear back from people how the music is helping them through grieving, through a difficult time, through, you know, how it's encouraging them or lifting them up, how they're using it as a tool to help them worship. I mean, it's great to get feedback from people because you kind of live, like I live and work in this office in my house, you know, and I don't see the whole world out there. And it's very gratifying to hear from other people and know that what you're doing is really making a difference in other people's lives. And that is so meaningful. And then just hearing kids play my music and knowing there's all these piano students out there, I see them on YouTube posting like recitals and stuff of these kids playing my music. I don't know anything that makes me feel better than just thinking, this kid memorized my music. That's just so cool.
Yeah, that is amazing. Well, for those kids and for any other people who yearn to live a life that matters, what words of wisdom would you have for them, whether it's musicians or not?
Don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid. I think fear, especially in our day and age, it really rules our lives. You know, we spend our time being afraid. What if, what should I say? Should I say this or this? Or should I say anything? Should I do this? Should I not do this? You know, we psych ourselves out so much. And you really don't make progress in life unless you move forward and you do something. Don't be afraid. Do what you want to do. If it's in your heart, if God has put it in your heart to do, go do it. And you may not know how you're supposed to do it, but you'll never know until you start. So just no fear. Do what you're called to do. Be who you were made to be.
Well, David, thank you. And how appropriate that the title of this show is Heart and Soul. You've been wonderful. I really appreciate it. Well, everybody, you've been listening to Heart and Soul. Our guest has been self-taught pianist David Nevue, whose 2005 release Overcome won the title Best Instrumental Piano Album of 2005. The quote I'd like to leave you with this week is one of David's favorites from novelist and lay theologian C.S. Lewis, "For broken dreams, the cure is dream again and deeper." David, thank you so much. My listening audience, thank you so much. This is Jory Fisher with Heart and Soul. I invite you to listen to my archive shows, to visit my website at joryfisher.com, to visit David's website at davidnevue.com, and to email me at jory@joryfishercoaching.com if you wish to discuss ways you can partner with me to discover your God-given purpose. My clients are professional men and women who are seeking meaningful work opportunities that will allow them to make the difference they're uniquely designed to make. Each week, Heart and Soul brings you conversations with people who are truly making a difference in their families, communities, and the world, like David Nevue. Next week, you'll hear life and leadership coach Beth Scanzani from her home just north of Boston, Massachusetts, as we talk about our vision for 2010. May you have a blessed and purposeful week, and may you continue to enjoy a beautiful holiday season with your friends and family. Happy New Year.
Thank you for joining us on Heart and Soul, Reflections on Passion, Purpose, and Perseverance. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, when host Jory Fisher brings you another inspiring show. We'll see you then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.